You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. If you're there, say amen. I'm feeling a little ornery this morning, so if you're not there and you need more time, just say, I never read my Bible. Everybody's there. Matthew 17, verse 14. I'm teasing. It says this. I've been out of the pulpit 7 weeks. It's going to take me a while to get into it. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, kneeling before him, said, Lord, have mercy on my son. Someone say mercy. For he has seizures and suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire, often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to bear with you? Bring him to me. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Look at this. Nothing will be impossible for you. Come on, would you just say that with me? Nothing will be impossible for you. Come on, say it one more time in faith. Online campus, say it. Nothing will be impossible for you. I came to tell you this morning, hearing God leads to creating the supernatural. The title of this message this morning is Supernatural Hearing. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for today. I thank you that your presence is in this place. We declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. So we declare fear, you must go and take all of your friends with you. Holy Spirit, come rule and reign and abide in this place. Father, I thank you that your word is true and that every man's a liar. I thank you that your word will go forward and accomplish all that it set out to do. Lord, I declare it is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Holy Spirit, teach us how to hide your word in our hearts. Lord, I pray that your spirit would breathe upon your word. Your logos would become rhema. I pray right now, ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Teach us how to hear you. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Say supernatural hearing. The Lord gave us a prophetic word over this house, and that means it's a prophetic word over your house, that this was the year of the supernatural. There was three parts to this prophetic word. The first part of this prophetic word is that we would experience the supernatural. What is the supernatural? It is what is bigger than you. You can't do on your own. You don't have enough resources. You don't have the ability. It's so big, it scares you. And if it happens, only God can get the glory. That's what the supernatural is. It cannot be done in your own strength. The Lord said, some of you are dreaming man-sized dreams, and God's about to give you his dreams. The second part to this word was that there'd be supernatural personal growth, that you would grow spiritually this year more than you ever have in your entire life, that this year you would grow and it would exceed what would take 10 years for you to do. I heard specifically people were going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit they've been asking for. I heard specifically people that said, I cannot forgive them for that. We're going to forgive people. This was going to be a year of supernatural growth. And then the third thing is mercy culture was going to supernaturally numerically grow. So I want to highlight the second part of this prophetic word, supernatural personal growth. And here's what I want you to know. You are going to supernaturally hear God better than you've ever heard him in your entire life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. This year, you are going to hear God more clearly than you've ever heard him in your entire life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. There is nothing in life that is more important than your ability to hear God. And it's the Christian's greatest struggle.
I hear this, I get this question more than any other question, is how do I know if it's me? Or how do I know if it's God? And I'm confused and I don't know, and I think and it might be and it might not think, and we get so caught up and wrapped up. And here's one of the greatest lies the enemy has told the church or the believer, is that it is hard to hear God. And I came to tell you, it is not hard to hear God. It's actually easy to hear God, because when you're in his presence, it's so easy to hear him. So I'm gonna give you some practical advice, because people like practical advice when they're learning how to grow spiritually. So practical advice or tips on hearing God. So here's the thing, is God's voice sounds like you. And this is why a lot of people have a hard time processing, because God speaks to them and they think it's supposed to be this booming voice or this like Rex Witt voice, like this smooth jazz,
hey, read your Bible on the Bible app.
No. God doesn't sound like Rex, unless you're Rex and then it sounds like you. But here's why. Because a lot of people don't understand who is the voice of God. The voice of God is the Holy Spirit. Remember the Holy Spirit, the personage of God that's not allowed in church? Just kidding. He's allowed in the back room twice a year on a Wednesday night. It's quiet in this Holy Ghost church. No, but here's the thing, is when you push the Holy Spirit out because you don't like tongues or you heard a bad theology teaching on YouTube, and so you decide certain gifts aren't for you, you push the Holy Spirit out, guess what? You push the voice of God out. Jesus walked and talked with the disciples in the flesh, and then he told him, I have much more to say to you, but I'm not gonna say it. My spirit is gonna say it. The Holy Spirit is gonna say it. He's the comforter, he's the counselor, and he has much more to tell you. Here's what he said, I have to go, but don't worry, he's coming. Watch, and then he came, and then a group of denominations decided that they felt uncomfortable. I get asked by pastors all the time, they're like, man, mercy culture is wild. I'm like, yep, wild ones, bless God. They're like, well, how do you make it wild but not out of control? I said, you stop controlling it. I know, but we want God to move, but we want to be able to stop it when it's time to take an offering. I was raised in church. I know all the games, tricks, manipulation, nonsense. I know it all. No. We want God to move as long as it makes us look good. But if people start making us look bad, we don't want God to move anymore. See, they want to know, how does God move, but how do I control the ark? How do I manage the ark? How do I touch the presence and still have a growing church? See, the problem is if you want him to move, you can't control him because you're not in charge. When you want God to move, you have to give him the room and get out of the way. When you want God to move, quit putting your .com and name all over it. When you want God to move, just welcome him and give him the room. What about people being out of order? Don't worry about it. This is an apostolic house. We'll set people straight. Someone came to me with a prophetic word. Like, Pastor, I came here with a prophetic word. I said, are you a member? No, I don't need your word. Because I hear God. I don't need you to hear God for me, and you travel around to whatever church you can and try to get influence with the pastor by giving him a word. Thank you, but there might be some other churches that don't hear God, and they might need you to help hear God for them, that you can go for 2 seconds and then leave and go to another one. Bless the Lord. Quiet in this church. Nothing is more important than your ability to hear God. And the Holy Spirit sounds, when God speaks, it sounds like you. Why does it sound like me? Because the Holy Spirit, who's the voice of God that we allow in this place, that we welcome in this place, we actually built the whole thing around him. When he's in the room, when you're in his presence, he speaks to you. And when God speaks to you, your spirit speaks to you. And that's why it sounds like you. Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit informs you. Second practical tip on hearing the voice of God, it comes quicker and faster than you can think. You can't process God. It's like, where'd that come from? Where'd that go? Whoa, this just came to me, whoa. You know what people in church, have been in church services, they're like, whoa, because they just heard something. They're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Come on, you can laugh. It's okay. It's okay. Greatest thing you can do in a church service is give all attention to God. Worst thing you could do is take it onto yourself. When God speaks to you, it's fast, it's quick. Where'd that come from? Whoa, was that? I think he just talked to me. Because something came to me really, really fast. Another tip for hearing God. It's a download or a revelation. What do I mean by that? I'll describe it like this. It comes in completion in a moment. It's like, you know when you see a movie, but you don't know if it's a good movie until you watch the movie. And then after you watch the movie, you understand the movie. When God speaks, it's not like that. You don't have to watch it to understand it. It's like understanding what happened in a movie in a moment because he just drops it in you. It's like, I just got it. I just saw it. The blueprints, the downloads, the plans. I just got it right now. It comes fast. Let me give you another tip. You want God to speak to you? Speak in tongues more. You know the gift you said is not for you? What are you laughing at, Will? No, you watched a bad YouTube video. They said it's not for everyone. You're like, oh, that's not for me. What scripture says is not for you? No, there's a scripture that says not everybody will, but there's also a scripture that says not everyone will go to heaven. I've met not one person like, I'm claiming that one. That's my life verse. Broad is the road to destruction is my life verse. I haven't heard anyone claim that. No, listen. It's for you. And here's the thing. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden those downloads, those revelations just come. I had a guy at our church reach out to me a couple weeks ago. He's like, Pastor, I think God spoke to me. I was like, well, tell me about it. What were you doing? He's like, well, I was on the Trinity Trail praying in the Holy Ghost. I was like, that's a good start. And he's like, and it just came to me all of a sudden. I wasn't even thinking about this, but this is what just came to me. I was like, bro, that's God. He's like, you think so? And I was like, you know what's crazy? I said, someone called me 4 months ago and said the exact same thing in their daily encounter. Looks like God is speaking to his servants, his heart. It comes quick, it comes fast, it's a revelation, it's all at once. When God speaks to you, ask him to teach you about what he spoke to you about. This is where the adventure starts. So you think God spoke to you, and then ask him to teach you about what he just spoke to you. I'll give you an example. The Lord spoke to me to plant a church in Fort Worth, Texas. Now I knew as God because I had been saying for 10 years, I don't want to plant a church. And I had all the reasons, mainly church drama. I'm like, Lord, I love your presence, but your followers scare me. No, I grew up a pastor's kid. I seen the drama. I seen the hypocrisy. I've seen all the junk. I didn't want anything to do with that. It's easier to be an evangelist, go around, preach, prophesy, minister, throw things, run around, and then let the pastor deal with everything. I'm like, that's way more fun. But God spoke to me to do it. So then here's what I asked him. I said, okay, then show me what you want. Here's what I prayed for 2 years. Teach me the church you will abide in. That's where the mercy culture came from, was asking the Lord, what do you want? What if you asked the Lord what he wanted in your business instead of making a business plan and then asking God to partner with you? What if you asked the Lord what was the vision of your family instead of giving him all of your life retirement goals and then ask him to bless it? What if you asked him what was the purpose of your relationship versus going to Axel Knight and go ahead and just... One eye on the Lord, one eye on the flock. There's people dating all around this church. It's great. It's the greatest place to meet someone is in church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I almost made a joke with Pastor Jasmine, and I'm just coming back over here. I'm coming back over here. Lord, send in that cowboy. Send the cowboy, Lord. You don't know what that joke is, you got to watch Mercy Culture Memes. I got to get back to the word. Get back to the word. Last tip. When God speaks to you, say out loud what God said. So we take one scripture where Joseph ran around and use what God told him to promote himself in immaturity, and then we take that as a doctrine to not say what God said. And I'm going to show you today that you will grow supernaturally in your ability to hear God when you begin to speak out and say what God told you. Scripture that changed my life was 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. You can listen to this whole message. I'm just going to go really quick on this, on the art of hearing God on our YouTube. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "And the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." I'm going to read that again. "The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Visions were scarce. And at that time, Eli, whose eyes had grown dim, could barely see. He was lying in his room before the lamp of God had yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located," or he was in the presence of God. "The Lord called to Samuel. He answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli. Eli, the high priest, said," he said, "'You called me.' He said, 'I didn't call you.' He replied, 'Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli. 'Here I am. You've called me. My son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down.'" Look at verse 7. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Now this is very important because 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 says the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. But verse 7 says he didn't know the Lord. This is a type and shadow of the church in America, where we're playing church, but we don't know him. Writing sermons about him, but don't know him. Singing what Upper Room and Bethel and Mercy Culture sing about him, repeating words, but don't know him. Mimicking other people's intimacy or relationship with God, but don't have one for ourselves. Have a ministry, but don't have intimacy. So it goes on. Three times the Lord calls him. Finally, Eli said, "Go back and tell the Lord, if you hear this voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant's listening.'" This phrase has changed my life. When I was 18 years old, I got a hold of this revelation. I've been praying, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening," multiple times a day, sometimes dozens of times a day, for almost 20 years. My kids and I pray it every morning and every night. Our staff prays it every single week right here in staff meetings. Every meeting we open up with, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." Why? Because it's so easy to hear God when you're in his presence. Samuel was in the presence of God where the ark of God was. When he was in the presence of God, he didn't even have to try to hear God. God spoke to him. And then when he started hearing and he started talking back, all of a sudden he began a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Listen, the first step of your ability to hear God is to talk to him. I've been preaching this for almost 20 years. You can go listen to it on the YouTube. But watch, the Lord showed me this week, he said there's another step to it. After Samuel started talking to the Lord, then he came out of the presence of God, out of the holy place. Little practical advice for you. When you're doing your daily encounter, ask the Holy Spirit to take you into the holy place. It's a game changer what happens. He said, after he came out of the holy place, Eli said to him, "Tell me what God said." Well, this is it. He comes out of the presence of God, and he starts saying what he heard God say. This is the next step in supernatural hearing. Is after you hear God speak to you, you begin to repeat what you heard God said. I'm not saying you have to get into on Facebook. I'm not saying that you have to go and make something happen. I'm not saying that you boastfully go and tell people that you're gonna pack stadiums. What I am telling you is that you begin to strategically, intentionally partner with God's word. This is so important. He started repeating God's word. I need to create an awareness right now on the power of God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces between the divisions of the soul and the spirit, of joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of man. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Hear me, church. The word of God is powerful. That's why Proverbs 18:21 says there's power of life and death in the tongue. Listen, the enemy's strategy today and his strategy then has always been the same thing: to discredit God's word.
The first attack on humanity was Satan going to Adam and Eve and saying one thing: did God really say? And now the same strategies are used to confuse people about their sexuality, and they say stuff like, does God's word really say? And now all of a sudden this confusion has come into the church because people have questioned God's word, and now it's not good news anymore. It's just good advice. Take it or leave it. I want to let you know that this is not just a regular book. This is not a group of stories and poems and songs, but this is the infallible word of God that's true. And every man's a liar. This is a book that has withstood the test of time. You can't discredit it. You can't redirect it. It's God's word. You can't reinterpret it. You cannot try to twist it or change it, because his word is alive.
Oh, it's so important. It's so important. Listen, you cannot respond to attacks of the enemy like Jesus did with God's word if you don't know it. You can't respond with good advice that you saw on the internet. The power is responding in his word. Why do you think Jesus said, the only thing I do is what I saw my Father do? The only thing I say, John chapter 12:49, is what I heard my Father say. Listen, there's power in the word of God. Jesus responded to Satan, not just with words, even though his words currently became the word of God because he was the word of God, but he even came into agreement with the past word of God and came into unity to cast down that stronghold.
So let me ask you this question. Are you partnering with God's words more or the enemy's words more? Let me give you some practical advice. Never come into agreement or partnership with anything the enemy says. I hear this all the time. People ask me on Tuesday Q&A, what do I do if my child comes to me and says they're gay? Don't partner with what the enemy says. There's no scripture in here that says that God is confused about your identity or gender. In fact, he said he knew who you were before you were formed in your mother's womb. He strategically, intentionally put you there. I want you to hear this, Pastor's Heart of Love. This is the enemy's attack that's coming against humanity. John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it is not hateful to bring people God's word. Now, you could be unkind in anything. And you can't use God's word to try to hurt people. That's witchcraft. God's word sets people free. God's word brings life. God's word brings freedom. God's word brings restoration. God's word brings joy. The enemy brings shame. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. It's a lukewarm Christian's favorite thing to partially quote scripture and say, "Don't judge me." And really what they're saying is, I become complacent and comfortable in my life of sin. You don't mess with my sin and I won't mess with yours. And we could all be ineffective for the kingdom together. Church, we have to know God's word. It's powerful. And when you know God's word and you partner with God's word, life comes into it. So we have Samuel, who's hearing God in the temple, and this is
a type and shadow. This is a reflection of relationship God had with man in the garden. Originally, God walked and talked with man in the garden with zero distractions. Look at Genesis 3:8. It says this, "And when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Look at this. It says, when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. They were in the presence of God, and they heard him so easily, they heard him moving. Have you ever been in a room and you didn't realize someone was there until they moved? And all of a sudden there's an awareness that there's more people here than I thought. They heard God so intimately. They were with him so intimately that not only did they clearly hear his voice, but they felt him move. Here's what God's word says. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God was there in the garden. In the beginning, he was there in the earth. It says this, God created the heavens and the earth. We're talking about supernatural hearing. The earth was without form or void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The garden, watch, is showing us God's relationship with himself. He's hovering over the earth, and the Holy Spirit says this, I love this, then he was speaking to himself. God is with himself, speaking to himself. And he said, let there be light, Genesis 1:3, and there was light. I want you to get this. Creation took place because God spoke. I'll say this again. Creation took place because God spoke. He's in his own presence talking to himself. And when he begins to speak, all of a sudden, supernatural creation takes place. Scripture tells us that in 6 days, just by talking, he created everything. Someone say that's supernatural. We could even flatten the curve in a year. He creates everything in 6 days. Listen, when God speaks, supernatural things take place. Let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 17. I might preach long today. The clock's not working in the back, so I'm just going to go. I'll see you next week at Mercy Culture Church. Matthew 17, verse 14, a setup to our story here. We have a boy who's demon-possessed and afflicted. We have a father that's conflicted. We have a religious community that's opinionated. We have disciples that are frustrated. And we have Jesus who's completely unrestricted. And here's what Scripture says. It says, they came to the crowd, and a man came up to him, kneeling before him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. Now, this is a powerful thing to say, and this is a powerful thing to pray. That word mercy means this, undeserved kindness. It means this, that you can't earn it, you don't deserve it. In fact, most Christians call grace what is actually mercy. Mercy is your undeserved kindness, forgiveness of sin. Mercy cannot be quenched. Mercy cannot be grieved. It's new every morning. Mercy endures forever. But they call it grace because they don't know God's word. And grace is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to overcome that sin that you were once bound in. It is not permission to live in the place of it. So he cries out for mercy. Watch this, because mercy demands the attention of heaven. Jesus turns and gives his attention to him. He comes up to him and says, I brought my son to your disciples. but they couldn't cast out the devils. Isn't that what church is like today? People come to get delivered, but they don't find the Holy Spirit. They find religion. So instead of getting free of demons, they live with them and just name them. And too many times they go to the doctors to help them try to fight spiritual warfare to overcome them. He's conflicted and he goes to Jesus and says, would you help me? I love this. They couldn't deliver the boy because they tried to deliver him in the natural. The disciples didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit yet. The religious people never had power. And here's what Jesus responds. This is so profound. He says, oh, faithless and twisted generation. How many know Jesus did not mince words? He says this, a perverse generation means that you twist and turn from the proper direction to your own desire. Y'all, we are living in a perverted generation. We are living in Isaiah 5, where men call good evil and evil good. We are living in a time of absolute perverse corruption that men are trying to take for themselves and make for themselves their own best way of thinking. We are living in a place where the mindset is twisted. We are taking children and indoctrinating them that they can choose their own identity, or they can choose sexuality at 3, 4, 5 years old, teaching them these things in public schools. Do you know right now in Fort Worth, there's legislation that's trying to be passed right now so that parents cannot have any information that it happens, but children can go and get their hormone blockers right now without telling parents? How many like my shirt? You know, we have politicians that claim to be Christians, but then sign pride proclamations and make your tax dollars pay for gay pride parades. It's quiet in this church. It's quiet in this church. Can't we just all just come to church and just pretend that we're going to go out and live for God? Church does not happen in here. It happens out there. God is calling this house of believers to take dominion back over every mountain of influence, from political to media to Hollywood to educational, back to the church, every mountain of influence. You can't deliver a twisted generation if you're not full of the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom of God. Here's what he said. This is wild. Jesus, I love God's word, rebuked the demon and cast it out. Scripture said instantly. Y'all, this is wild. Do you know what the word rebuke in the Greek is? It's epidemeo. You know what epidemeo means? It means to honor. Y'all, you ain't ready for this. Jesus came and honored a demon. See, you're confused because you don't know how to honor. See, to honor means to assign heaven's value. And when you don't know how to honor, you will not walk in deliverance. Watch this. This is going to mess with your demonology, because you thought, because you watched a YouTube video, if you yelled loud enough, it would come out. Maybe if you used your Bible like a sword. it would come out. Or maybe if I quoted enough scripture in the name of Jesus that Pastor Heather talks about, maybe it would come out. Watch. Jesus honored the demon. See, watch. Heaven's value, that word epitomeo, means the appropriate spiritual weight. See, you have given the demons in your life an inappropriate value. You have made it bigger. You have made it stronger. You have made it greater than God. And Jesus just came. And here's what he said. He said, no, I'm going to give it its proper value. You fought the demonic things coming against you. You fought the addiction. You fought a generational curse. You fought something that was attacking you had this great value. And Jesus said, let me give it its proper value. This demon belongs under your feet. You don't get my attention. You don't get my focus. You don't get my desire. You don't get my prayer life. You don't get my passion. You don't get my distraction. You belong under my feet. Someone needs to praise God in this place and just tell a devil to get under your feet. You won't have spiritual authority to correctly honor and assign value to demons when you dishonor. Oh, I just heard the Holy Ghost. I'm getting him mad. Wow, this is great. This is why scripture says to honor everyone. What? And you choose who you're going to honor or not. Do you know people gave me hate for praying for the president from the stage? For real, for real. I just can't believe that you would pray for a human being. You're so hateful. Guess what? In all of their messages, I could feel demons. Because they were led by demons. Because they did not honor. See, this is why this is so important, because even when people that you can't figure out how to honor, what you do is when you honor them, you pull them up to heaven's value. And then the demons that try to operate in your life, you put them down to their proper value. Listen, when you understand honor, you will live in supernatural deliverance. He honors a demon and it comes out instantly. Okay, then the disciples came to him and said, why couldn't we do it? Because you guys fight with each other all the time. Because you're constantly trying to figure out who's the best. Because you're promoting your ministries, because you're fighting with other churches. Who fed more? Who did more? Who did this? Who did that? Where do you sit? Do you have reserved? Where do you go? And where do I go? And where do we go? And what do we do? This posturing. And here's what he said. He said, you have little faith. He said, if your faith is size of a mustard seed. Now, most of us stop right there. And we've heard so many teachings on faith the size of a mustard seed and all that stuff. And I'm not going to go there. But here's what I'm going to let you know. You at least have a faith as small as a mustard seed if you believe in Jesus. But let's just get it straight for a second. You believe that a teenage girl was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He conquered the grave in hell. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven into the sky, and one day is coming back again for his bride. Some people are clapping. You at least, you believe that. You got mustard seed faith. If you believe that, you got mustard seed faith. Listen, faith is not the problem.
Look at God's word.
He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say. So you have been living the last 20 years on trying to get more faith.
Throw the shoe, I'll throw it back.
You've been living the last 20 years on trying to get more faith. I told you you're going to supernaturally grow this year.
You're
going to have breakthrough this year. Listen, the problem isn't faith. The problem is you haven't said it. He said, if you have faith and say to this mountain. Do you know what God was doing? He was trying to show you how to supernaturally create. He was trying to show you how to create in the supernatural. Watch, watch, watch. He was showing you what he did in creation. He's trying to show you how to move mountains he put there in the first place. Watch, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be, and there was. I was hanging out in my office with the Lord this week. And I said to the Lord, who heard you say that? Clear as day, I heard the Lord say, I heard myself. You're laughing, but you're about to get one of the greatest revelations of your life. Watch. He said and heard himself say. Jesus said, let me show you what my Father did in creation. He loves to hear himself say. When you say to that mountain, be moved. It's not you saying it. He said it first. You're just repeating his words. Listen, watch, watch. Just like he heard himself say it. When you repeat it, he doesn't hear you. He hears himself say it again. Listen, every time you repeat God's words, it's not you he's hearing it. It's not you telling a demon to come out. He's hearing himself first.
Sit down, I'm not done. I got 8 minutes. Watch. This is why the enemy tries to use fear to cause you to be quiet, to be fearful.
Look at this. This is how you begin to create in the supernatural. The church has to speak up. The church has to get loud. The church has to get bold. The church has to create in the supernatural.
I got 7 minutes. Sit down. We were in a staff meeting the first week of Supernatural. And Pastor Abe, in the middle of the room, starts saying out loud what he heard God say. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fills the room. I felt faith arise. He said, when we first started, the Lord said you would start in that building, pointing to Seven City Church. He said, then he's taking you to this place. Then he said he would take us to this place. All of a sudden, this new level of faith came. Watch. He wasn't giving us his opinion. He wasn't giving us a strategy. He was saying out loud what he heard God say.
I had this pastor come up to me this week. He was walking around Mercy Culture. And he said, Landon, this vision is incredible. Where did you get all this vision? And the only way I could describe it is it felt like his word shot out me and then died in front of me. And I said, this isn't vision. This is creation. That people are in the presence of God. They hear him. And they come out of his presence and say, we're building a 100-unit restoration home on this process that's taking girls from rescue to reintegration. They come out of the prayer closet and say, we're not going to have just a school. It's going to be a spiritual leadership school where we're going to send ministers all over the world, where we say we're not going to just feed people food. We're going to give them the gospel, where we say we're not just talking about this. He's doing it. Why do you think so many people try to change your vision, Heather? You know what's better? If you just do 20, you know, 20 is doable. We could do 20 in the natural. I'm not trying to partner with your witchcraft natural. I'm not trying to partner with your counterfeit of the supernatural. Either God shows up or we're not doing anything. We don't have this ability. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't make it happen. I can't figure it out. I don't have the resources. I don't have the ability, but I have a word from God, and that is all I need. This is why, worship team, come join me. This is why the enemy works so hard to keep you silent. This is why you're terrified to say out loud what he told you to do. He said, if you have faith this small, watch, and say. I came as your pastor to tell you, start saying what you heard God say. Start telling God what you heard him tell you. Start telling your intercessors, your friends, your spiritual people around you, your tribe, your crew. Start telling people that you can trust. This is what I hear God say. I can't do it on my own. I don't know how it's going to happen. It scares me to death, and that's what makes it supernatural. But God is going to take you from supernatural hearing to supernatural creating. You create the supernatural when you begin to partner and repeat God's words back to him.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.